Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program happening right now. It is the Fan After Dark on a haiku hump day kind of day. The band is back together after a two-week, not even a hiatus. It was, Fred did K&C, Blake did G-Bag, and boom, here we are 2 weeks later and are back and better than ever. Let's jump out to the... Thank you, sir. Let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Welcome to the program. Making his Fan After Dark debut. One of the best scribes and talkers of all things college football. A ball knower, if you will, when it comes to the college of pigskin variety. The one, the only, writer for The Athletic and the Bunch Formation College Football Show podcast, Mr. Chris Vanini. And Chris, we finally have polls, all right, that we can, get excited about in some form or fashion. Your first thoughts and how much stock, if at all, do you put into these preseason polls?
I don't put any stock into them. Because, we adjust as they go on. They don't actually really mean anything, and the numbers go out that they don't really influence anything down the road. But I love preseason polls because it's something to talk about, and there are 136 teams in Division 1A, so we need to kind of have a good sense of, like, who do we think is going to be good this year and who might stand out. No real surprises, I don't think, in the poll. There are some teams I think are a bit overranked and some that are underranked, but I think there's a lot of questions about the teams at the top, which makes for a pretty fun season when we don't know what to expect.
I'm looking at the bottom here, BYU, Utah, and Baylor being the teams looking on the outside looking in. Do you think any of those teams have a reason to be angry that they're not in the top 25 over the likes of a Tech, Tennessee, Boise State, kind of towards the bottom of the top 25?
Well, the thing about the Big 12 is that it is the deepest conference in college football. You've got, I think, seven teams essentially making up the top 28. So, Baylor, they could win the conference, and they're the, I think, seventh-ranked team in the conference based on this poll. All those Big 12 teams, I think, are really close together. No reason to be too upset. I think if Baylor beats Auburn in week one, they're probably going into the top 25 from there. So, these things adjust as we go. But I'm pretty high on Baylor. I like what they have. I think that first game with Auburn is going to be really fun. And I'm really high on Utah, who had kind of a nightmare season last year. But coming out of Big 12 media days, I got the sense that that is a team that feels very confident about what they have this year, including maybe the best offensive line in college football. So keep an eye on Utah.
Talk to me about the Florida Gators. They're a really interesting team. DJ Lagway obviously going into his second season over there. But they have a very tough schedule ahead of them, some tough road games, especially the SEC, some home games that have some troubling fans. Do you think Florida, even with the tough schedule, can be a team that we see in the playoffs this year?
Florida's really riding the momentum of the way last season ended. Because remember, halfway through last season, we thought they were about to fire Billy Napier, the coach. Instead, DJ Lagway the former five-star recruit, turns out to be a pretty good player. They closed the year with wins against, I think, LSU and Ole Miss and Florida State, and they look good. 15 is pretty high, I think, because there still are some concerns about them. I'm also concerned they're pretty banged up in camp. DJ Lagway has been in a walking boot. They've got some receivers banged up as well. They've got a pretty tough schedule early in the season and really throughout the season, but really that first month as well. So they may drop a game or two and kind of set themselves behind the eight ball early on. But if they can continue the momentum of last year, if DJ Lagway is healthy, he is going to be perhaps one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Chris Vanini, Bunch Formation podcast, writer for The Athletic, talking all things college football here on 105 Through the Fan, Fan After Dark. A team that, look, you know, anybody that follows college football knows about our guy Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. And it seems like since the Trevor Lawrence years, this has just been a very just kind of polarizing almost figure in college football. His, you know, whether it's his faith, whether it's his lack of using the transfer portal and just kind of the way he goes about handling his business, good, bad, or indifferent, right? Depending upon how you look at it. This might be the best team he's had in quite some time. Where are you at right now on Dabo, this Clemson football team, and kind of what's college, you know, how important is this year for the Dabo Swinney legacy?
It's huge, and I'm very high on them this year. They've got all the pieces that, you know, while they haven't pulled a lot of people from the transfer portal, and he gets criticized for that, they don't lose guys to the transfer portal either. And they've got Cade Klubnik coming back, should be one of the best quarterbacks in the country, maybe like the number two or three Heisman favorite right now. He's got all his receivers back. Most of the receivers last year were freshmen, so they're going to be a lot better this year. The defense needs to stop the run better. That was the problem last year, but they made some changes on that side. They've got a good defensive line. They open with LSU. If you win that game, you might be off to the running, and we might be looking at 12-0 in the regular season. I really think Clemson has a breakthrough season. And, you know, part of a big reason Clemson just hasn't been what they were, you know, 10 years ago, is that they had back-to-back, you know, top NFL quarterbacks.
Boy, sure
Trevor
did.
Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. They just haven't had that since then. I think Cade Klubnik, second full year as the guy, they may have that again this year.
Let's talk Texas. I know all of our listeners are pumped up in the chairs when we talk about the Longhorns. Obviously, Arch Manning's been the big talk of the offseason. Kind of what have you heard of how he's kind of bringing a different element that Quinn Ewers maybe did not bring? And then obviously they're still bringing back a lot of players that they had last year with Wisner and Baxter, some of those guys on that defensive side. Is the Texas, are we overhyping them, or do you think they will live up to expectations this year and be one of those four best teams?
I don't think they're my number one. I think it's a little bit high just because of how much turnover they have on both lines, especially that offensive line, which is so good and full of NFL guys. Now they've got five-star guys to come in and replace them, and we'll see what happens. But I'm not ready to put them at number one yet. You know, they have the running backs back. They should be able to run the ball better, which will help. And with Arch Manning, he's going to be able to get the ball down the field better than Quinn Ewers did, especially since Quinn was injured pretty much most of last season. The oblique, the ankle, that injury, the oblique injury, he was never the same all season from there on out. He couldn't drive the ball down the field. Arch Manning's going to be able to do that. He can get the ball out quick. He can get the ball out far. Should be able to stretch the defenses a bit more than Texas did last year, as long as those pieces are there. So Texas, they're the SEC favorite. They're going to be good again, but it's the first time they really have to fill up those offensive lines, those defensive lines that have been so good the last couple of years.
Chris Vanini, The Athletic, talking all things college football. Anytime, and I don't care what sport it is or professional NFL or excuse me, professional college, whatever, anytime you follow a legend, you're going to have your hands full. Number one, what did you think of Kalen DeBoer's season last year in Alabama? And now as we head into year two, the hype as far as taking over for him has died down, and now it feels like it's firmly his program. Where do you see this? And you, no more Jalen Milroe. Where do you see this Alabama team ranked number 8 in a loaded SEC?
So, I mean, mean, the way Alabama's season played out, it didn't really surprise me because Kalen DeBoer, his overall record is ridiculously good. He's won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
But he's also had, like, quite a few duds. You know, even the Washington teams that were really good, the one that went to the national championship game, they barely beat a 3-9 Arizona State team that year. So, like, they sometimes don't fully get up for certain games. And I think you see Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, two teams that go 6-6. They just weren't all there, and that's what happens. He also beat Georgia. You know, like they destroyed LSU on the road. So like they can get up for the big games under Kalen DeBoer, but it's those games that they are 3 touchdown favorites. Nick Saban never lost those games, and so that is the one thing. If they can just kind of avoid those, you know, you're a playoff team. This year, you know, Ty Simpson's going to be the quarterback. I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of these guys who's going to play quarterback. I do wonder if Simpson and maybe these other guys are just kind of a better fit offensively for what Kalen DeBoer likes to run. There's usually not as much quarterback run in what he does. So maybe it's a quarterback who's not as good as Jalen Milroe, but maybe is a better fit.
We already know about Drew Aller coming back, Cade Klubnik coming back. We talked about DJ Lagway a second ago. Arch has a lot of hype. Talk to me about some other quarterbacks that you think are going to make wavelengths this year in college football. Garrett Nussmeier be another one. Some guys that maybe people aren't talking about that our listeners can be watching when this college football season kicks off in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Aller, like, I got to see him take the next step.
Okay.
You know, like he did turn down the NFL, and the NFL people like him, but I don't know. Like, you watch him, and you don't see the game-changing ability. I don't see it, at least, in some of those ways. So I'm very curious if he can take that step forward this year. I think Sam Levitt, the quarterback at Arizona State, I love him. He is going into his third year, second year as a starter. You know, Arizona State was one play away from beating Texas and going to the semifinals last year. He's got his top receiver back. I think Moore is going to be on his back since Cam Scadaboo is no longer there. So I really like him. Sam Levitt. I think Kevin Jennings down at SMU, you know, he came on as the season went on last year. Now it's fully his team. He's going to want to rebound from that Penn State performance. That's not who Kevin Jennings is. I think those of us who watched SMU knew that. I think he's going to have a big step up. And then the Indiana quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, transferred in from Cal. NFL people are really high on him. So he might be a guy, you know, who you're not really thinking about coming into the season, but as it goes on, you start thinking this guy might be, you know, first, second, third round pick in the NFL draft, at least based on the scouts that I've talked to. They like him so far.
What about Sellers, South Carolina?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, he really, the second half of the season, it's kind of like DJ Lagway at Florida, where it's like, can he continue the momentum of the second half of last season? He lost his offense coordinator, so it's going to be a couple of changes, got some new weapons around him. But I really like him, obviously a great dual threat quarterback. We'll see if some of those receivers like Nick Harbor can kind of live up to the hype. Some speedy guys there. So a lot's going to be on his shoulders, and he's not going to surprise anybody this year.
Sorry, I'm just super excited to talk to you. When it comes to the receiver position.
Must be nice.
when it comes to the receiver position, a lot of our NFL listeners like to look ahead and say, who are going to be the next Jamar Chases and Justin Jeffersons and CeeDee Lambs? Who
she rices.
Who are the five or six guys, or maybe if it's even less of that number, that you're looking at if the draft were to happen, that these would be the guys that NFL teams are looking at. These are going to be the guys at the top of the draft board come a couple months from now.
Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State might be the best wide receiver prospect we've had in a generation. And he probably would have been a top 10 pick if he came out last year after his true freshman year. He still has to go through two more years of college football. It is extremely unfair to these defensive backs who are going to be going pro in something other than sports to have to match up to Jeremiah Smith for the next 2 years. He is an unreal player, and you're just going to have to wait a while in the NFL to get him, but he will likely be a very high pick when that happens. Ryan Williams at Alabama, another guy, big play threat, really fun character. Him and Jeremiah Smith are on the cover for the video game, and I've interviewed Ryan Williams a couple times. Another guy, true freshman last year. Like, the true freshman wide receivers we saw in college football last year were ridiculously good, and they're going to be sticking around in college football because of the NFL draft eligibility rules. I also think Jordan Tyson, I mentioned at Arizona State, I mentioned Sam Levitt, Arizona State, the quarterback I like. Tyson had over 1,000 yards last year, but he got hurt and he didn't play in the playoff. So he didn't play in that game against Texas. So that number one option wasn't there. He's back this year. I think he's going to have a really big season. I think Auburn has a pair of wide receivers to keep an eye on. Cam Coleman, another guy who was a freshman last year, really big dude, expected to take a big step forward. They also added Eric Singleton Jr., transfer from Georgia Tech. So Auburn's got a good 1-2 punch of receivers. Those are some guys I think I'd keep an eye on.
Name me a coach, because our boy, Scott Frost down at UCF, who, you know, mentioned that he took the wrong job in Nebraska. And you know, Matt Rhule, I thought, did a great job of saying, yeah, you're right, this wasn't a good job. And I don't know if that was just him covering up for it or his way of saying, yeah, this job sucked. Look what I've done since I've been here. Who's a coach right now? Give me two ends of the spectrum. Give me a new coach who you expect to, you know, do some big boy things this year, and who's somebody that could be on the outside looking in as far as getting fired, and I'm looking squarely at Brian Kelly.
Well, that's what I was going to start. Talking Love about it. Fit, Brian Kelly and LSU.
That's just been weird, right?
It hasn't quite fit. They haven't been bad. They've been good. They win, you know, 9 games. They win a Heisman Trophy. They beat Alabama his first year, but they haven't made the playoff. They haven't reached the highs of LSU.
Right.
And it's notable because the previous three coaches there all won a national championship. Nick Saban did it, Les Miles did it, and Ed Orgeron did it. They all did it within, I think, 3 or 4 years there. This is going to be year 4 for Brian Kelly. This is usually when it happens. They've got Garrett Nussmeier, might be the best quarterback in the country. So can they get over that hump this year? Because he's a Northeastern guy, coached in the Midwest. He's the complete opposite culture fit, obviously, of Ed Orgeron. And the buyout's pretty big. So, like, I don't think they're, you know, you're not necessarily itching to make a change for a coach who's winning a lot.
Yeah.
But they've been behind in money a little bit in terms of getting players. They lost number one recruit, Bryce Underwood, the quarterback, to Michigan late. So we'll see if the defense has been terrible the last couple of years. They have to fix that side of the ball. In terms of new coaches, there weren't that many Power 5 coaches that were added this year. There just simply wasn't a lot of turnover. But I'm very curious how Kurt Cignetti at Indiana.
Okay, I'm with
year
that.
Two.
What about Hugh Freeze?
Hugh Freeze, another guy on the hot seat. He's got the same record Brian Harsin did through the first 2 or 3 years there. He's just generally been recruiting better, so he's had a bit of a longer leash. But you lose that game, that week one game against Baylor, you're going to be in trouble the rest of the year. And fans are kind of getting on him because he golfs a lot, which is normal. Like, every coach golfs, but they're not recruiting as well in this class. And so fans are, like, latching on to things to kind of not be happy about. And so Auburn's been cycling through coaches the last, you know, 5, 6 years.
Okay, let me, because I want to ask you about that. Like, does all our and look, maybe their, I didn't realize their endowment was like that. I mean, how do, I mean, what are their buyouts right now? I mean, I feel like every 2 or 3 years, you know, they're paying somebody's buyout. Now with Gus Malzahn, he just went ahead and left, correct? Like, he just said, to hell with it, I'm bouncing and going to Florida State, correct? When he left, or was that Florida Central? He left.
He left UCF.
That's what it was. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. But he got fired from Auburn, right?
He did get fired at Auburn. Brian Harsin got fired at Auburn. They both had the same gigantic buyouts, and Freeze has the same buyout as well. The only difference is half of it isn't due within 30 days. But I think Freeze's buyout might be like $20 million right now, and you know, all these coach contracts are ridiculous because these athletic directors and departments get totally taken behind the woodshed by the agents when they're negotiating these contracts. And so I think that's one reason you didn't see anybody major really get fired last year, because suddenly these schools had to find $20 million to put toward players, because you got to play the players directly, that they don't want it. We might get longer leashes on coaches now, okay, and that I think is ultimately a good thing. I think we saw that with Florida, where they kind of had to wait a little bit longer, and then he turned the season around. You know, so
what,
like,
a concept.
We'll see.
What a concept. You let a guy actually work a little bit, and good things happen. Real quick, since we're sticking on two-year coaches, Mike Elko at Texas A&M. I was talking to one of the throngs of Aggies here in the DFW area. It just feels like, look, the one thing that helped obviously turn UT around was getting back-to-back great quarterbacks, all right? One thing we knew about Jimbo, that guy had no problem getting skill guys, getting trench guys. I mean, he got them all day. It seemed like every top-notch dude out of Dallas and Houston at one point was going to Texas A&M. When are they going to get the quarterback, and what do you expect out of Elko in year two?
Well, I think this team's going to be able to run the ball really well between Reed, the quarterback, and the running backs they've got. They go into that Texas game last year. If they win the game, they're going to the SEC championship. Yeah. So, like, they did backslide, and that's kind of leaves a bad taste. You lose the bowl game at the last second. You lose to Texas for the first time playing that game, obviously, in a while. You lose to Auburn in 4 overtimes or whatever that was, because the guy drops the pass. But they were, what, 7-1 or 8-1 at some point. I think the biggest thing with Elko after the Jimbo era was you kind of just got to knock off all the nonsense, all the drama and that kind of stuff. And I think they mostly are doing that. He is now helping take over the defense, which is his thing, which he ran there before. We'll see if that helps. So I think they're trending in a more comfortable direction. But, you know, with the way last season ended, I don't blame fans. Some fans were being pretty antsy. But, you know, first year, all that roster turnover, did a pretty good job, and I think things are still moving in a good way. Just because you're not bringing in the number one recruiting class like Jimbo did. By the way, half those guys transferred out anyway, so it didn't matter.
That's fair.
It's really about doing what you do with the guys you have, and I think Mike Elko's good at doing that.
Chris, phenomenal stuff from you. Tell the folks at home where they can find you at on all the socials and where they can find the Bunch Formation podcast.
Yeah, just at Chris Vanini pretty much everywhere. I'll read my stuff on The Athletic, and I've got a college football show called Bunch Formation.
Chris, great stuff. Let's do this again soon, and enjoy week zero, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. The one, the only, Chris Vanini from The Athletic, talking all things college football. Hopefully you are a little bit smarter on the college football front. All right, let's bring back the Cowboys segment that we talked about earlier in the program. Who are a couple guys that need to have good performances on Saturday against the Baltimore Ravens? Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Fans of Dark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.